The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. All week long, we've heard our first reading from the book of Tobit. Now, Tobit is a book that you don't hear very often. It's only read every other year. It's a very beautiful book, but it's a very mysterious book because its message unfolds very, very slowly, and that makes it kind of hard to understand. So let's take a closer look at Tobit. The name Tobit means God is good. And that's also the message of Tobit, too. The message of Tobit is that God is always good because Tobit is a book about the mysteries of God's providence. If you want to understand Tobit, understand it as a companion volume to the book of Job. Because both Tobit and Job talk about the mystery of human suffering, but, you know, in complementary ways. Everybody knows the story of the book of Job. Job is about, why do bad things happen to good people? The book of Tobit says that when bad things happen to good people, remember, God is at work in everything, even in the smallest details. Now, there's three main characters in the book of Tobit. First, there's the namesake, Tobit. Okay, and Tobit has a son, and his name is Tobias. And then there's another character, this woman named Sarah. Now, Tobit, Tobias, and Sarah all live devout and upright lives. All of the models of faithfulness to God, all of the models of righteousness and of keeping the covenant, and every last one of them suffers terribly. Tobit, kind of like Job, loses his fortune, loses his health, and in this really bizarre accident, he loses his eyesight. Things get so bad, you know, that Tobit just prays for death. And then Sarah, this upright and good woman, is under the strangest curse, and for no fault of her own. Her curse is, every time she marries a man, that new husband suddenly and mysteriously, inexplicably dies. And this has happened to her seven times. Seven times. And they all pray to God for help, and every time they pray to God for help, it seems like God is doing absolutely nothing. Does that sound familiar? Okay. It's supposed to sound familiar because it's part of the message of the book. So Tobias wants to help out his dad in his financial crisis. He's lost everything. He goes off to try to collect this debt that's owed to his father, and along with him comes along a man for company. Or so he thinks. Turns out the one who comes along with him is the archangel Raphael in disguise. And he's taking him to the house of Sarah, but he doesn't know it. And when he arrives, he tells him that in the law of Moses, he has to marry Sarah. And he doesn't like this idea at all because he's heard about what's happened to all of Sarah's children, all of Sarah's husbands, all seven of them, and he doesn't want to be victim number eight. Sarah doesn't like the idea either because she's heartbroken, she's tired of death, but, you know, Raphael convinces them if they just trust God, the curse will be lifted. And they put their whole souls and hearts on the line and they trust God, and lo and behold, the curse is lifted. They go back home. Tobit is cured. Raphael reveals himself for who he truly is, and everyone praises God for his providence. That's the message of the book of Tobit. But the message unfolds itself in strange mysteries. For example, the mystery of this fish gall. They're walking along and they come across this fish gall, and Raphael says to Tobias, "You better take that with you, you're going to need it." And he's like, "That's pretty strange," but he trusts him. And turns out that's exactly what ends up curing Tobit's blindness. Then there's the mystery of Raphael being hidden in the first place. Right? Why doesn't he just reveal himself? It's all part of God's, plan. The idea that God shows his providence in the strangest ways, in his way and in his time. And we have to have faith enough to believe that he's doing the same in our lives. One of my favorite characters is Blessed Solanus Casey. He was a Franciscan brother, and he lived in Detroit, died in the 50s, a contemporary of ours. And one of his favorite quotations, one of his most memorable quotations, he said, "If you knew what God was up to, you'd praise him and you'd thank him for everything. So just thank him in advance, right? Just thank him in advance." That's the message of the book of Tobit. We should praise God in advance for all the mysteries of what he unfolds. We should praise God in advance because we'll realize that nothing but nothing, not even the slightest detail, happened that your heavenly Father didn't know it and allow it as part of his divine providence. And we'll praise him in advance when we realize that not one single prayer went unanswered. Like the Blessed Virgin Mary, we'll praise him that he who is mighty has done great things for you. Amen.